So, Tim, it's good to have you tonight. We pick up our study from the book of Proverbs. We're on the last page in the outline I gave you, page 4, point 8. Drinking. I'm not talking about drinking water either. I'm talking about alcoholic beverages. In Proverbs 20 and verse 1, the wise man said, "Wine is a mocker." It'll make fun of you. That's what that means. Strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Drinking is a real problem in our society today, among all ages of people. It's especially true of a lot of women. Do you know a lot of women are alcoholics? And you probably never know about it. They keep it a secret. And so you need to be aware of the dangers of drinking. You might say if you have teenagers, "Well, my kids would never do that." Don't be too sure. Don't be too sure. Look at Proverbs 23, verse 29, beginning. This text describes a drunk. Did you read that? 23:29. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? A drunk gets beat up. Black eyes. All that kind of stuff. Who hath redness of eyes? Has a hangover. And you can tell it by what? Look at his eyes. They that tarry long at the wine. They that go to seek mixed wine. Then this is the advice of the wise man. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. What's that saying to you? Leave it alone. At the last, it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. That's what it'll do to you. Thine eyes shall behold strange women. Look at there. And thine heart shall utter perverse things. There's no telling what a drunk's liable to say. Right? There's no telling. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea. Are as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, thou shalt say, but I wasn't sick. They have beaten me, and I didn't feel it. I felt it not. Wonder why he didn't feel it. Too drunk. You know, a lot of times there are accidents, and you wonder how some of these fellows get out alive. They're usually what? Drunk. A lot of times they're drunk. They just bounce around and with whatever bounces around, and they don't get hurt. A fellow that's sober, he'd end up doing what? Dying. Being killed, yeah. And when shall I awake? What's he going to do when he wakes up? Start all over. I'll seek it yet again. What do you call a fellow like that? An alcoholic. It's been said if you don't you got to take that first drink in order to become an alcoholic. Every state has its own driver's handbook. Indiana has one. The state of Texas in its handbook says you cannot take one drink and be 100% sober. Do you agree with that, Robin?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. It's a true statement. You cannot take one drink and be 100% sober. Now, you may not be dead drunk, you might not fall down, but you're on the road. The younger people start drinking, the easier it is to become an alcoholic. Doesn't take very long. You see, before a fellow becomes an alcoholic, he says, I could quit if I wanted to. But after he gets to be an alcoholic, what's he saying?
I want to.
Huh?
Quit if I could.
I'd quit if I could. Alcoholics are all around us everywhere. Do you know that? They're widespread. So maybe where you work, maybe? You never know. Very dangerous stuff. A lot of young kids are exposed to it. A lot of the fatal accidents you see on the highways are caused by a drunken driver. Do you know that? Tons of them are. Just tons of them. There were a couple of people down at Lagodi area on 50 that was seriously injured just a few days ago. Some drunken driver hit them head on. A couple was killed not long ago. A fellow driving drunk on the wrong side of the road. So it's a real problem in our society today. A lot of kids, young children, are exposed to it. I wonder where they get it. Where did they start it from?
From
home. Yeah. It's in the cabinet at home or wherever. And so it's a real problem. Now, when I say all this, I hear somebody say now, I wouldn't think about getting drunk and falling down. But I don't mind a little social drinking. How do you feel about social drinking? You think that's okay?
No.
Anybody?
It's saying a bad example.
Anybody think it's okay? Or would you admit it? Let me ask you another question. Does the Bible address just drinking? I'm going to say, I know it talks about a drunkard. Drunkards will not have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, it talks about, and it's one that works the flesh. But what about just social drinking? Karen?
I believe it's banqueting.
Where's the passage? Anybody know where the reference is? I asked you, see if you could find it. Find a New Testament passage about social drinking. Who found it?
I saw something in Ephesians 5:8.
Which says what?
5:18. I don't know if I have it right.
5:18?
I got 1 Corinthians 6:10.
Ryan, what do you got?
It says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit.
Okay. Singing and make a melt in their heart. Okay. Anybody get the passage about social drinking? That's what I'm wanting, huh? Who's got it? Nobody? Nobody? Jenny, you got it?
I have Luke 1:15.
What does it say?
For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink.
Okay.
And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb.
Who's that talking about? John? Still haven't hit on the passage. There is a passage that talks about, and some versions call it drinking parties. Well, I'm going to give it to you. Jot it down in that blank. 1 Peter 4:3. 1 Peter 4:3. 1 Peter 4:3. Which says, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excessive wine, revelings, and Karen mentioned the word a moment ago. What was it, Karen?
Banquetings.
And abominable idolatries. That word banquet, banquetings, has reference to drinking parties. In fact, the New King James calls it drinking parties. That's just social drinking, by the way. The Bible condemns social drinking just as much as does getting drunk. Because a lot of people who start social drinking end up being a drunkard or an alcoholic. See? So that's what happens. Be sure you jot that passage down. 1 Peter 4 and verse 3. Ann?
I can't find it, but didn't it say a little wine is good for the stomach?
That's right, 1 Timothy. Under the circumstance it was. But he said, while you do that, don't drink what? Yeah, that's true. But what else did he say? Drink no longer. Who knows? Water.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you use a little wine for your stomach's sake and often infirmities. That must have been for what reason?
Bad water.
I don't know about that. How do you know that?
Well,
We don't know. It could have been for medicinal purposes. I don't know whether the water's brown or not. People always had water to drink, I guess.
Well, out there in Germany, they...
Yeah, you hear that, yeah. That's not social drinking, is it?
Well, didn't the Lord turn the water into wine at the wedding party?
He did. Did he drink it?
Evidently, he made it for someone to drink.
Well, you need to study the use, the Bible use of the word wine. Many, many times the word wine, as used in our Bibles, has reference to what? Karen?
It's like grape.
Just grape juice. I don't think that was intoxicating. And the reason I say that to you, they had already drunk. And if it was intoxicating, the Lord would have approved of excessive drinking under that circumstance, which he would not have done. It makes a good study sometimes just to how the Bible uses the word and describes the word wine. It's often it was not alcoholic like ours is today. So whatever that's worth to you. That doesn't justify social drinking now. When Paul said, drink a little wine for your stomach's sake, you might go to the doctor and he might prescribe something that's got alcohol in it. I don't know. But he's not prescribing that you become an alcoholic, that you start social drinking, I'm sure. So there's certainly a big distinction. A lot of people would oppose getting drunk, drunkenness, but maybe at the office party, they would indulge in a little social drinking. How would you handle that if that comes up at your job? How'd you handle that, Robbie?
I wouldn't drink at the job, number one.
At the office party?
Time to go home.
Yeah. You can always ask for what, Greg? Water. I'd just take some water. They look at you kind of funny, but that's okay, let them look. It's such a good example, don't it?
Mm-hmm.
It makes you stand out as somebody different from the little guys. It's okay. And you need to have the backbone to do that. Yes, ma'am.
I don't mean to be sounding off.
Sound off.
Okay. When I worked for Hooks, they'd have big things to teach us. And they'd leave wine or some kind of a drink. There was one woman, if you didn't drink here, she went around and got everybody's off the table.
You did?
Yeah. I said she did.
Oh, okay.
But talking about women getting drunk, she loved it.
Mm-hmm. Anything else? I'll leave that with you, whatever's worth to you. How about friends? What'd you put in the blank? Read and fill in the blank for me. Who wants to handle that? Edie?
But you have friends, one must show himself friendly.
Yeah. To have friends, you got to be friendly. I hear people, maybe at church service, they say, well, that's an unfriendly church. Usually the people who say that, how do they operate, do you think, Will?
They're pretty standoffish.
Yeah, maybe they slip in the last minute after it's already started. And guess who's the first one out? They are. And then they say, this body, those people weren't very friendly, were they? I can understand why they'd think that. They didn't give anybody a chance, did they? To say, hi, how are you? And so on. So, to have friends, you have to be friendly. Who does the Bible say was a friend of God? Karen. Who knows? And you know? Who was a friend? The Bible in the book of James called somebody a friend of God. Who was that?
David.
Who?
David.
He was a man after God's own heart.
Okay.
Who's the friend of God? Abraham. Remember that? Abraham's called a friend of God in the book of James. Does Jesus in his teaching say anything about being friends? You might remember. Well, let me call your attention. John 15, verse 13, 15, 13, and 14. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's what Jesus did. Lay down his life for his friends. John 15. Ye are my friends if what? If you do whatsoever I command you. So you have to decide whether or not you're a friend of the Lord or not, whether or not you do what he says. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not which his Lord doeth, but I've called you friends. All the things that I've heard of my Father I have made known unto you. The Bible talks about something we ought not make friends with. Who's that? Who is it you ought not make a friend with? The devil? Okay. Friendship of the world is enmity with God, James said. Remember that one? And the wise man said, don't make friends with some fellow. Who was that fellow? What kind of man? Give you the blank. Fill in the blank for me. Don't make a friend with the blank man. Mm-hmm. Who? Angry man. Why don't you want to make friends with an angry man, Robin?
You don't want to make friends with an angry man because it'll rub off of you.
Could, couldn't it? Yeah. And there's no telling what he'll do to you either. He's mm-hmm. a fool. We've already read about fools. You know, we've read tons of passages. Remember last Sunday and last Wednesday night as well about fools that this book talks about. Okay. Then I've listed for you the last section, section 10, some other great lessons to learn from the book of Proverbs. And who wants to kick off the first one? Proverbs 30:6. What you got, just tell me what you got in the blank, Phyllis.
Do not add to his word.
Yes, don't add to the word of God. It says this, add thou not unto his word, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a what? A liar. There's a principle that runs throughout this entire Bible. Don't add to the word of God. Deuteronomy 4:2 said that. The fifth book of Moses, add thou not unto his word, nor diminish from it. Deuteronomy 4:2. Proverbs 30:6, we just read that one. 2 John 9 says, not go beyond the things that's written. Revelation 22:18-19, not add to or take away from the words of this book. Leave it alone, that's what that means. Don't add anything to it. If you was going to add something to this book, what would you add?
More time.
No,
I mean, study.
Oh. But see, he said don't add to it. He said if you add to it, you know, you'd be lying. Well, you wouldn't know, I wouldn't know what to add. I mean by that, to add truths to these. To take a pen, write some more. You see, when the pen of inspiration was laid down in AD 96, it never has been picked up again. And yet there are religious bodies who keep telling us they have what do they call that? Latter-day Revelations. The Mormon Church, by the way. They claim to have modern-day revelation that the Lord tells them stuff. The Mormon president. You know, Mitt Romney's a Mormon, don't you? But anyhow, he doesn't. The last revelation the Mormon church had was that it was permissible for a black person to be in the priesthood. Up to then, they wouldn't allow blacks in their priesthood. But the pressure on them was so great, it just so happened that the Lord spoke to this fellow, he says, and told him now you can have blacks in the priesthood. Probably incidentally, I don't believe the Lord speaks to people like that. Hebrews 1:1 says God speaks to us today through his Son in this book. That's the only way God speaks to us. And when the pen of inspiration was laid down in about AD 96, it had never been picked up again. Jude said in Jude 3, earnestly contend for the faith once for all delivered the saints. Jude verse 3. There is no modern day revelation today. We got all in this book already. And we got all we need, don't we? That'll keep you busy. Mastering that, won't it? Yeah.
You said the last book was written in AD?
About AD 96. Within the first century. Yes. The book of Revelation, AD 96. So we're not to add to the word. If you can't add to it or take away from it, what's left? Well,
leave it alone.
Just leave it alone. What's what it says? Don't be adding to it. People add to it all the time or take away from it. That's a good way to add to it. I say, well, I believe this is the way it is. And they tell you something that's not in this book. People always are doing that. Number two, Proverbs 28:9. Read and fill in the blank there for me, Jenny.
If we do not listen to the law, our prayer shall be abomination.
Yeah, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, his prayer be abomination. If you don't listen to God, guess what, Ann?
I don't listen to God.
What's the rest of that? He won't what? He won't listen to us, will he? Yeah, if we don't listen to him, he's not going to listen to us. He that turneth away his ear from hearing, the Lord's not going to listen either. Don't forget that. If you don't listen, he don't listen. Proverbs 14:34. Who's got that one? Debbie? Got it handy?
No, I didn't get that part.
You got it, Ryan?
We need to be a nation under God.
What does it say? What does the text say? Righteousness does what?
Exalteth a nation that sins are reproached in the people.
Yeah, righteousness exalts a nation. But sins are reproached to any people. Good statement, isn't it? About our nation. Yeah. It's a good statement to remember about our nation. What's Proverbs 6:9-11 about? I've already mentioned that to us in another context. It's about what?
Sluggard.
Huh?
Sluggard.
A sluggard. What's a sluggard?
Lazy.
Lazy person. It's about oversleeping as well. Proverbs 6. It's about going to the ant. Remember that? I talked to you about that the other day. Consider the ways of an ant. Why do that? Well, an ant doesn't have a guide or overseer or ruler. But she provides her meat in the summer and gathereth her food for the in the harvest. And he's after people that are lazy. Verse 9. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou rise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. You can just sleep your life away. You like to sleep? We all do, don't we? You don't like to sleep, Greg? You don't. Well, that's strange.
I do, but I don't care for it.
You don't.
Waste of time.
Waste of time. Robert, you like to sleep? Because how tired you are, maybe, huh? Does he, Denny?
I'm tired.
Huh?
He likes to sleep.
He likes to sleep.
If I didn't, you
didn't. Evidently. She ought to know.
That's not sleeping, that's napping.
But anyhow.
That's because she's napping, too. Got to stay quiet.
The Bible's not condemning proper sleep, is it? But what's he after, Ryan?
Don't sleep in so lazy. Get up and
get up and get at it. Yeah. A lot of people are too lazy to get up and go to work. And you'll be late. How many times can you be late, Will?
Pardon?
How many times can you be late on your job and it don't affect you? Have any idea? They have any policy out there?
Well, they have a policy.
Wonder what it is.
It's 5 points within a 3-month period or 10 points over the course of a year.
How many points you have to get the pink slip?
That's what I'm saying. If you got 5 points within a, you get a quarter of a point every time you're late. So, you know, you can be late 100 times in a year. About.
Strange.
Well, yes. There's people I know that, you know, I've tried to, you know, get them a job or whatever, and they're like, well, you know, they ask what time you start, and we're like, oh, that's too early. I can't get up that early.
That's
and they're usually up drinking at night.
That's right, they got a hangover. Yes?
Years ago in the factory, it used to be a verbal, a written, and then fired. You had three times.
You think we ought to adopt this for church services? Think about it. He used to belong to a club. What was it called? Altrucia? Altrucia. It's a ladies' club in Bloomington. That's worldwide. They do things for ladies and send them to school. I don't know what all they do. Anyway, they had a little policy. You miss three times, you're out. Without an excuse.
The plant did cook.
Anyway. And sometimes we get pretty lax about that in church service. People come in late. Or don't come at all. We've got too much of that going on, don't we? So, how come you never tardy, Robbie?
Like, I'm never tardy. I'm on time. I don't know how to be tardy.
We plan.
Priorities.
Huh?
Priorities.
Yeah, it's a matter of getting, you know. You ever oversleep? Anybody in here ever oversleep, miss Bible study? You know what a Big Ben is, Edie?
It's a clock.
It's a clock.
A loud clock.
Is it loud?
A long time ago, yeah.
Well, if you have trouble, I understand you might have some difficulty. Maybe you're up late, maybe you've been sick, I don't know what. But anyway, you can work that out if you really work at it, yes.
There's really no excuses anymore. Because if you have a cell phone, most folks, that's all they got. They've got the most obnoxious sounds on there for a lot of what you have ever heard in your life.
Have they?
Chad used to use one, and he was clear at the other end of the house, and it'd get me up.
Okay. Enough of that, I guess. Proverbs 16:25. Number E. Who wants to handle that one for me? Shannon? 16:25.
There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death.
There's a way that seems right. It just seems right. But guess what? It's not right. You know, a lot of people base their thinking about what the Bible teaches on that philosophy. It seems to me. It don't make a bit of difference how it seems to me. Remember Naaman? You remember him, 2 Kings 5? When he's told to dip in the Jordan seven times in 2 Kings 5 to recover his leprosy, he said, "Behold, I thought. It seems to me." Didn't make any difference how it seemed to him. God still said what? Dip in the Jordan seven times. And he finally did that and things worked out for him. So the next time that you got a tendency to say, "Well, it seems to me, Lord, it ought to be this way or that way," just remember this passage. Good point, isn't it? Proverbs 16:18. Who wants to handle that one? Leslie? 16:18. Yeah, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. There is no room in God's scheme of things for pride or arrogance or haughtiness. You know, there is a difference in, maybe you have a project and you did a good job doing it and you say, "I'm proud of that." That's not this word. Or maybe your child excels in school, and you say, "I'm proud of my child, his work in school." Anything wrong with that? That's a good kind of pride. That's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about a haughty attitude, because he says that, a haughty spirit, high and mighty disposition. That's what he's talking about. And he said that goes before destruction and a fall. You're headed for a fall when that embraces your life. Proverbs 13:15. Who wants to handle that one? Rebecca?
Good understanding gives favor, but the way of transgressors is hard.
The way of transgressors is hard. You break the law, you do what? Will?
Do the time.
Do the time. Now, you say, "Well, I didn't mean to do that." Where the transgressors are. What's the word transgressor mean? What's another word for transgression?
Going
sin. Like 2 John 9, whosoever transgresseth goes across God's law and abides not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. The way of the transgressor is hard. You commit a crime, you're punished for it, you do some time. That's the way it is. The way of the transgressor is hard. That's where we need to teach our young people about transgressions. Proverbs 27:1. Who wants to handle that one? 27:1. Helen, you got that? Can you read that one? Chapter 27. 27. Chapter 27. Verse 1.
Boast not thyself of morrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth.
Yeah. Don't boast about tomorrow. Why? You don't know what's going to be on tomorrow. That's Proverbs 27:1. Do you know there really is no tomorrow? When tomorrow gets here, what will it be, Debbie?
Today.
It'll be today. And tomorrow's always somewhere in the future. He said, don't be boasting about that. It kind of hooks up with a little statement in the book of James. Remember James 4:13-16? A man's going to go in the city and be there for how long? A year, buy and sell and get gain. And the writer said, you don't know what's on tomorrow. For what is your life? Then how did he answer that? It is even as a, Jenny? Vapor. That appeareth for a little time and then does what? Eating. Vanishes away.
What about that guy in Esther that was telling everybody how happy he was to
Mordecai?
Kill him?
Yeah. On those gallows?
Yeah.
He got himself, didn't he? There's no tomorrow. That's when Paul said, behold, today is the day of salvation. Now is the day of salvation. Today. Now. You know the only time you really have is just the now? Right now? Why is that true? Why is that so that we just, the only time we have is just the now, Ann?
That could change in a
promise of tomorrow.
Yeah. We might not get out of this building alive tonight. Do you know that? None of us. What might happen before we get out of this building, Leslie? Give me an example, something specific. Huh? Yeah, the world could come to an end. The world could come to an end before we get out of this building. I mean, people never think about that, do they, Greg? They say, oh, it's way off yonder somewhere. You don't know that. That day and that hour knoweth no man. Mark 13:32, Matthew 24, and most other places. That could happen. That'd be it. Well, this that could be an earthquake. There's one on the horizon, you know, in this part of the country. A big one. We're sitting on the edge of one, they tell us. That could be one. That could be a lot of things. We could all have heart attacks. I don't know. It usually don't happen at a group like that, but we hope.
Not without help.
Well, we don't know. That's when the Bible places emphasis on when? Karen?
Now.
Today. That's right in the Lord's teachings in Matthew 24 when he discussed something about his second coming, a little bit about it. Didn't give any signs now, but he said of that day and that hour knoweth no man, but he said be what? Be ready. For today you think not the Son of Man cometh. He come as a thief in the night, 2 Peter 3:9. See? Now. So that's a good reference, isn't it? Boast not thyself of tomorrow. For thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Good reading, help. Okay. Chapter 31, the last chapter in the book, is the story of the worthy woman. The worthy woman. It begins in verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? Verse 10 beginning. for her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does solely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She arises also while it is yet night. She's an early riser. She's not like that person that slept to the crack of noon. And giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. Why not? She needs it to work by. She's still working some after dark. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. What's that?
Making materials,
that like a spinning wheel. She stretcheth out her hands to the poor. Yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, her family, that is. For all her household are clothed with scarlet. She's a good seamstress, evidently. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. What's tapestry? Loretta?
Beautiful cloth.
Tapestry. Very expensive cloth, by the way. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. He's president of the town council. Do you see that, Jenny? Well, look next door. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. What a lady. Few ladies come up to that standard. But it's a good standard, isn't it? This lady, she's known as the worthy woman. It makes a good reading at a funeral service if there's a lady that has met some of those qualities. Good one. Well, I've used your time, and we have gone through the book of Proverbs pretty good. Do you see anything else that you want to ask or say about this book? If not, we'll pick up Ecclesiastes when you come back Sunday morning. You've got the material in outline form. It's a great book. And the keynote is vanity. That means it's passing. And I want to warn you about something. When you go through this book, everything you read in it, from verse 1 to the end of the chapter, remember, he's talking about things that's happening under the sun, on the earth. If you don't understand that, you'll misunderstand it. You'll see that little phrase a lot of times. There's nothing new under the sun. That is, that's how you understand this book. See? Ecclesiastes. Great stuff in it. Hope you enjoy it. Thanks for coming to the class.